Welcome to the round 14 Supercoach Coach podcast. My name is Marcus, and this week I'm joined by Dunny. Welcome back to the show, mate.
Thanks, Marcus. Great to be back.
And we've got our champ in the house. Faz is leading the Supercoach Coach podcast host at the moment. Welcome back, Faz. It's been a little bit of time.
It has. G'day, gents. It's been a bit difficult with rounds sort of running into each other. It's been difficult to get on the show with recording times of sort of 11 a.m. on a Tuesday and things. So luckily we've got a somewhat normal week right now until things kick off again on Thursday. So very happy to be back here.
Yeah, awesome. How are you going, Faz, since you've last been on? Why don't you keep our listeners up to date?
Well, I've got a story that will certainly take away any of this champion status that you've been pumping me up with. So the ranks actually is still looking quite good. I'm sitting at 166 currently, dropped six places in the rankings this week with a score of 2,400. Time for the story. I really buggered things up this week. I had Jack McRae as my VC. He obviously did a fine effort and was very happy with that score. And then as I was sitting there late on Saturday night looking at my team with Sam Skinner as captain, I started to get worried. I saw that he was an emergency and thought, oh, I really don't want him to be a late in and then have him as my captain. So I said, I'll move it to Neil and then I'll check the team sheets tomorrow before the game starts and then I'll put it back to Skinner once he's confirmed that he's not in the team. And, of course, forgot that step entirely, so I ended up with Lockie Neal as captain. Was looking pretty disastrous when he was on about 20 points at halftime. He managed to scrape out a 72, so it's, not atrocious, but, when I'm looking at McRae's 141 and that's those 70-odd points I just left sitting there with my own stupidity, that's certainly hurting a little bit, particularly with the rank where it is, but hopefully that's the last mistake for the year and I can have a clear run for the remaining five rounds.
At least it was still a pretty good score there, Faz. I scored 23.54 for the week. Didn't take Rankin's 58 and got Cameron's 26. So it would have been pretty close to 2,400 if things had gone a little bit better. Dunny, did you have a good week, mate?
Nowhere near compared to you two guys, that's for sure. An ordinary week. I finished with a 21.55, so I had a few issues in my side. So I had Cornelio's 53. I had Arts on the field for his 57 and Rankin for 58. My forward line's a bit dodgy still because I've been playing around in the rucks too long. And, of course, my rucks had Goldstein with his 58 and Grundy with his 85. So not the best round, but I was chatting to a few of you guys on the weekend as to what I needed to do. I had a matchup I needed to win, which I eventually lost. But to take a chance to try and win it, I actually captained Danger instead of Lockie Neal. So that at least worked out for me, which was nice. But my trades for the week, I bought in Lloyd for Sicily, which I was really happy with. And then I traded out Sarong, who I thought had maxed out, to Nat Fife, who ended up scoring about 6 points less than Sarong. So that didn't quite work out for me, but hey, I'm happy to have Nat Fife in the team now, but it's been one of those seasons where whichever way I win, I usually pick the wrong way. So that's all right. We'll move on.
Yeah. Well, Donny, anything can happen. And I started from a really long way back, and you'll be happy to know that even I've broken back into the top 10K. So if there's hope for me from 60K, there's hope for you too, buddy. All right, why don't we get to the crux of what we're going to talk about this week. And looking at the questions and what's on offer in terms of trade strategy and what most people are looking at this week, I think we're actually going to decide to have a bit of a different change of pace and go with predictions for our best 22, so trying to pick the top X plays in each position. And that's largely because we've kind of reached the stage of the season where everybody's trades are going to look fairly different depending on the buy situation, the amount of trades you have left, whether you're going for league, whether you're going for overall. I know some people are looking at trading out Neil this week, which is crazy if you're an overall player, but obviously potentially a game-breaking decision if you are a league player and you can bring in an ultra premium. So rather than get down to, common themes for trade-ins and trade-outs. We'll just quickly touch on a couple of rookies on the bubble and then get into some of these top X predictions. So first up, the question here from at eChalice or Supercoach Mama on Twitter, do we go with Irving Mosquito or Jake Riccardi for a downgrade this week? Now, both scored really well. Riccardi, 82, playing as a tall in GWS's side. So, really wasn't expecting that type of pick to be somebody that we'd be looking at, but an 82 certainly gets your name right up there. Mozzie's an interesting one, 77, and a lot of people, I guess, sort of hoping that he locks down the spot moving forward. I think that potentially he might be some chance of that. Faz, what can you tell us about his job prospects, mate? Will he be straight in and out, or can he hold that down for a bit, do you think?
Look, I thought he was still a fair way away prior to the weekend just gone. Just from the rumblings I'd heard from the club, I thought he was a bit of a sort of future pick and might take a few years to develop. But I was very impressed with what I saw on Saturday night. He's not the biggest bloke. I saw him and Tip and Woody standing next to each other, and I think he had a couple of centimetres on Tip and Woody, but you're still pretty short in that case. But he had a good build to him. I was expecting him to look a lot slighter. I'd seen him when he was first drafted and really was quite a skinny kid. He's put on a fair bit of weight. There was one instance where he just crashed through a pack and seemed to do it quite comfortably. And given the state of Essendon's season, I think they're probably a pretty long shot at this stage to still play finals. So just as a supporter, I'd be very much a fan of them trying to get games into guys like Irving. I just think that the circumstances here for Essendon, why not give games to the future of the club, guys like this? Keep playing your Sam Drapers, your Irving Mosquitoes. We've already had a few sort of long-term injuries. I think Zaharakis is done for the year. So I think that the club should just keep playing the kids. And for that reason, I'd probably have him a bit favoured over Jake Riccardi, just because I think GWS are still will be pushing for a top eight spot. And I know that Jeremy Finlayson was a surprising out on the weekend. So I could see him coming back in and putting a bit of pressure on Jake Riccardi's spot. I just don't think that the same pressure for job security would be there for Irving.
Yeah. Are you guys already out of finals contention? I thought you might still be trying to play for that.
I think not officially, but I know that we have a pretty tough run home and it's been a while since we had our last win. So I think not mathematically ruled out of the finals yet, but only a few optimistic Essendon supporters still hoping for that, I'd say.
Dunny, thoughts on Mosquito, or is there any other rookies that you might be considering, mate?
No, those two were the ones that I was definitely looking at. I really liked the look of Riccardi. I thought he looked fantastic, but I do agree with Faz that I think his job security is probably a bit sketchy, whereas, Essendon, if they're going to do it right, they play the kids now, see if they're any good, and make the decisions at the end of the year. So if I was bringing one in, as much as I'd really love Riccardi because he played a really good game, I think I'd probably get Mosquito just for that job security. The great thing is both of them are buy free, so you can bring in either of them and be comfortable that you can at least have them as bench cover for the rest of the season, assuming they keep getting a game.
Last quick question on rookies. This one's from Steve McKenzie, and he's wondering about trading in a basement rookie instead of, a Mosquito or Riccardi, and potentially even bringing in a non-playing basement rookie. I guess really the premise of the question is it worth pushing it for extra 20K in cash? Noting that even during the buys, when you get extra rookies on field, sometimes the extra 30 points is probably not a big deal by the end of the year, and the 20K can make sometimes a larger difference than that. Any thoughts on trading in basement or non-playing rookies, Dummy?
It's something that I wouldn't be doing just yet. I think if I'm down to my last, say, two, maybe three trades, and I need that extra bit of cash to get someone decent, if I'm falling about, 5-10K short of the guy that I really want, then I'd looking at doing it. And even then, I'd probably only want to do it in the last couple of rounds of the season when I know I'm pretty safe. I've got someone else on my bench that can cover an emergency if I need them. And it's basically, like your F8, your D8, something like that. And you're not going to use them anyway. The other thing that they can do, of course, is they can be a handy little loophole for you. As we run into the end of the season, you can loop people on and off the bench as required. So I don't mind the strategy, but if I've still got, 7 or 8 trades left, I'm probably not doing it just yet. Faz, what do you reckon, mate?
Yeah, pretty much bang on with what you've said there, Dunny. And I can certainly understand the appeal there of those basement price players. I won't lie, that was probably a factor in me picking Sam Skinner the week that I did. I think that you know, the $10,000 difference between him and the other rookies available that week was enough to get me up to the player I was looking to get. But, you know, we can see the results there. Sam Skinner is a perma donut now. I should have probably checked the other players that I overlooked instead of Skinner just to really drive the point home. But I think particularly coming into these three bye rounds that we're about to face, and round 15 in particular, I saw that Bryce put up a poll on Twitter today asking how many premiums people were expecting to field in round 15, the sort of horror bye round. There was quite a few people that are looking at under 18 premiums that week. So I think that while our previous experiences with the byes may have been that those rookies didn't really matter so much, and their, you know, those sort of 40, 50 scores didn't end up counting in our best 18, I think this time round, and particularly round 15, there's a greater chance that we might require those players.
How are people having 18? I've got 14. It's awful.
I think I've got 17. 15.
Yeah. I'll have 17 players, but only 14 premiums.
It's looking quite grim. And it was one that was hard to predict because we didn't really know which teams were going to get smashed together. And it so happened the large concentrations with Western Bulldogs and Geelong and North being pretty big culprits. But anyway, no, I agree with the advice that's been given out. Let's talk about some of these top picks then, and trying to almost pick a best 22 for the remaining five rounds. I guess let's not think about it in terms of how much they've averaged so far, because of course it's going to be hard to unseat some of the existing big scores, but more your perspective on these guys on the run home. So why don't we start with the rucks being sort of the most scant area. Obviously Gorn is out at the moment, and we'll probably leave him out considering, you know, the litany of injury concerns for now. So leaving Gorn out, there's now a lot of contention over potentially the top three. Grundy, you'd say, is potentially still in the driver's seat, but Nick Nat across the last three rounds, averaging 142, across the last five rounds, averaging 131, easily clears the next best ruckman. How do you gents see the ruck race on the run home?
I guess a big factor for me is Sam Draper in all of this. If you're a coach that has Sam Draper sitting at your R3 right now, I'd be much more willing to look at bringing in a Grundy or a Goldstein type that still have a buy remaining. If not, though, I'd pretty much put a line through both of those players. I think that the amount of points that you're sacrificing by having a week without them playing and likely without cover. I guess is Darcy Cameron still getting games at Collingwood?
He played Monday night, but yeah.
But the scoring's been pretty poor, hasn't it?
And yeah, he did
catchy. He scores either like 80 plus or sub 50.
Yeah.
So I think because of that up and down scoring of his, I probably wouldn't be relying on him to fill in for a week or for 2 weeks if you've got both Grundy and Goldstein. Whereas Draper, I'm a bit more confident. He's sort of going in the right direction with his scoring. So, yeah, certainly it's hard to look past Nick Nat as the top option. The form he's been in the last few weeks, as you mentioned, Marcus, and, you know, we know how good of a tap ruckman he is. So that issue of, you know, hit-outs to advantage is always going to be there. The West Coast midfield seems to be clicking better as well. So a lot to like about Nick Nat right now.
Yeah, look, I tend to agree. I like Nick Nat at the moment as well. He's in great form. He dominated the first half of that game on the weekend. I think everyone watching was pretty much in awe of what he was doing. The only concern I have with Nick Nat is that in this next footy frenzy period that he's likely to get a week off. I think I saw something come out from the Eagles a week or so, or in the last week, that talked about the fact they would look at resting Nick Nat at some stage. But, you know, while they're still, you know, pushing for that top four finish, I think he'll keep playing. 100% agree with your comments on Draper there, Faz. I think he is definitely a great R3 to have at the moment. I do have Grundy and Goldstein, so thankfully I've got Draper at R3 and he's going to keep me going on that one. The only other one that you may want to look at after this week would be potentially Riley O'Brien. He's averaging 102. He's not doing terribly. You know, Adelaide aren't playing well as a team, but he's certainly still been scoring well And after this week, he'll be bye free as well. So he would be able to come in and cover that round 15, round 16, when the other two guys have their bye.
How about in the back line? Why don't we go there next and try and pick the top six there? I think probably the front runners are pretty obvious at this stage. A lot of conversation around Jake Lloyd for a long time, of course, but Luke Ryan very recently. I think you'd have to put him in that sort of top six echelon at the moment, mm-hmm. averaging 130 across the last five rounds, 109 for the season so far. I think probably I'd also have Haynes in there as probably the number three, and Ridley probably in there as well. Maynard's shown some level of consistency, but before his 136 on the weekend, you know, he was also potentially looking like he was sort of dropping off a little bit. I guess, outside of maybe those four, maybe apart from them and Stewart, that sixth pick I'm struggling with a little bit more.
Yes, I certainly agree with your top four there, with going Lloyd, Ryan, Haynes and Ridley, probably in that order. I've brought in both Haynes and Ridley in the last 2 weeks and was sort of trying to maneuver situations where I could get enough cash for either Lloyd or Ryan and couldn't do it. So I settled on, you know, who we have pegged as three and four. I'd agree that Maynard is probably one of the few players with an upcoming bye that I would still consider as a potential top pick in their line. And that's probably because Maynard's bye in round 16 isn't too difficult. It's just Collingwood and Richmond that week. I know a few coaches have Jaden Short, but he's not the most popular pick. So there's probably not as much competition in the back line you can probably cover a Maynard donut for that week. Then getting onto the next group, it's a tough one. So Callum Mills was someone that I was looking at quite closely this week as an alternative to Haynes, who I did end up bringing in. I'm just a bit worried, though, that, you know, that there's been quite a few injuries at Sydney. So and Callum Mills also has that ability to play more of a lockdown role, different to the Jake Lloyd type who will always be seagulling and getting cheap possessions. Callum Mills will probably have a game at some stage in the rest of the season where they'll say, you know, this is your responsibility, lock this guy down, and that's your job for the day. And I could see, you know, a 50 or a 60 coming there. So I'm a little worried with Callum Mills there. So maybe just to round it out, I'll go with Adam Saad, who's I think got brought up last week. Not the most exciting pick, where you sort of know what you're getting from Saadi. And it's about a sort of, you know, somewhere between 90 and 110 most weeks. He won't fluctuate too much from that. And at that price, under 500K, maybe that's all you need.
Yeah, I'll throw another couple out there. I've got two that are on their bye this week who I would certainly consider after that if you don't have them. So Rory Laird, I think his role in the last couple of weeks has been pretty much not as a pure midfielder, but he spent a lot of time in centre bounces and in the midfield. And his scoring, he's averaging 127 over the last three rounds. I think he's one that we certainly can't ignore. Obviously, yeah, he does have his bye this week. So after that, you could look at bringing him in if you don't have him already. Another one who also has his bye this week was Alex Witherden. He's also made a really good return to the team in the last couple of weeks, and he's only at 467. So he is reasonably cheap if you are looking for someone and you don't have a great deal of cash after this round. But the guy who I so wish did not have that round 15 bye that is absolutely on fire at the moment is Luke McDonald from North.
Ridiculous.
I know, averaging 133 in the last three, 126 in the last five, scored 144 on Monday night against Collingwood, and he is just everywhere. I don't know where this form's come from this in the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks, but wow.
Yeah, he had five scores under 60 in the first seven games.
Yeah.
Right? Like, awful. He was averaging 62.5 after round seven. He then goes 122, 136, 95, 138, 119, 144. Yeah. So apart from his 95, his next lowest score is 119.
It's crazy.
Bonkers. Bonkers.
Yeah, so if he didn't have that round 15 bye, I reckon people would be jumping all over him at the moment.
Yeah. On pure scoring potential alone for the run home, I think Lloyd, Ryan, Laird, McDonald, Ridley, and Haynes. How about into the forward line, gents? This year's certainly thrown up a big change in terms of the top six. We've got some new entrants and probably a lift of the ceiling as well, which is quite nice. At the moment, we have six players averaging 103 or more, and that doesn't include Lachie Whitfield, who, of course, had that concussed game that put him out at 99. So probably headlines by Christian Petrarca, who is head and shoulders above the rest this year, averaging 120. The next best is Tom Hawkins at 109, and then it gets down to the Brayshaw-Martin territory. The forward line, though, the equation certainly looks a little bit more simple. So the top six read Petrarca, Hawkins, Brayshaw, Martin, Walters, and Greenwood, with Whitfield being the seventh. And I would really struggle to pick the top options from outside of that pool anyway. Would you agree with that, Tony?
Yeah, I think it's a tough line this year because that top six is pretty much set. The only one that I think a lot of people won't have Walters, although he's been brought in fairly heavily in the last couple of weeks. The other guy who's been up there pretty much all year has been Jai Simpkin from North, a very popular pick. He's still averaging 96, so he's not far behind some of the other guys. I think, look, other than the six that you mentioned and Simpkin, there's not a great deal else. The only other one that I guess Bailey Smith also has been a hugely popular pick this year, and he's paid off for a lot of coaches. The other one who's buy free and is – been doing okay recently was Jack Martin from Carlton. He's scored 144 on the weekend. He's averaging 93. He could be a bit of a unique for you. He's only at about 5% of teams, but if I'm looking for that unique to get me the potentially big score to get me a win in a week, he's one that I'd look at. The only other guy, once again, has the round 15 bye. Jack Lukosius has been scoring really well in the last two games, averaging 115 in the last three, but to be honest, mate, that top six that you read out, pretty hard to go past them, with Jai Simpkin as probably number seven, Bailey Smith as number eight. Faz, anyone else take your fancy in the forward line?
No, I think you've covered the field quite well there, Dunny, but I'm just going to selfishly focus in on Jack Martin for a moment because he's certainly someone that I'm considering quite closely. I'm up to my 22nd upgrade this week. I haven't run the numbers yet, but I think I might be just short of Walters, and after his 144 on the weekend, I'm certainly looking quite closely at Jack Martin. A little bit worried that I noticed that last week it was against Gold Coast, so I don't know how much the playing against the old mob factored into things with such a good score. But what are your both of your thoughts in terms of Martin as a trade-in right now?
Yeah, I'm certainly considering him as well, Faz. I'm like you. I'm a little bit short of getting to Walters with the trades that I want to make. If we look at Martin's run home, he's got Collingwood, GWS, Sydney, Adelaide and Brisbane. So he's probably got two tough ones there in GWS and Brisbane, whereas he should go okay against Collingwood, Sydney and Adelaide. So I like him as a pick. I think he's if you are struggling for the dollars to get to the top guys, he'd be the one that I'd be looking to pick up.
Yeah, I agree. The buy free element, I guess, makes it tough to pick like a Hugh Greenwood over him. But, Hugh Greenwood at that price I like as well. I think I have them in sort of a similar scoring bracket where like 100, I think you're getting the top of their range in terms of if you only have them for 5 weeks, I think they'd sort of oscillate between averaging 90, 95, 100, depending on the patch you got them in. So, I don't see Martin being huge. I don't think he's going to be a super unique from you in the sense that players aren't that unique unless they're scoring very uniquely. So unless Martin does 110 plus, I don't think he's going to be that special for you. He's just pretty decent at the price point. Well, seems like he'll be able to knock out at least 100. Talented kid certainly has some upside. So, maybe I'm wrong and he can score better, but I'm not expecting something huge. I know you guys mentioned Walters as well. I just sort of flagged that he's probably at a little bit more risk now than previously just because of where Frio are at the moment. They've certainly handed the keys to the midfield across to their kids now. And his last two rounds, 60 and 93 since coming back, largely reflect a decreased time in the midfield. Brayshaw, meanwhile, has sort of gone strength to strength. So if I were to pick a top six, I would actually remove Walters from there and put Greenwood in as sort of F6. But Simpkin, Greenwood, even Bailey Smith, like if you have them at a decent patch, Jack Martin, they're all pretty replaceable there, I think, at number six.
Lukosius is really interesting. At 473, he's not necessarily overly priced if you think that he's a super talented young kid that can sort of take his game to the next level. But just noting that he's still got a buy, so it'd be hard to bring in a player like that anyway.
Probably the only other thing for Lukosius is he's got that defender forward swing. So if you did bring him in the forward line and you were still carrying someone like Rivers or Stasevic down back, you could swing him forward and back as required. But I agree, he's still got that buy to come.
Now, going to the midfield and finishing off there, again, a class of players that seem to be above the rest. In the top three, we've got in the midfield, Lachie Neale, Jack McRae, and Clayton Oliver, with probably the surprise packet being Clayton there. Not that, you know, he's not been a great player so far in his career, but the 205 scored against Adelaide has done a lot to drag his score up. By free as well, Clayton, so certainly would sort of have to be in that range. And then the next four by average, Jack Steele, Josh Kelly, Tom Mitchell, Marcus Bontempelli, that's seven. They all look pretty good, and then you've got Nat Fyfe sitting at eight. So I guess the question is, based on current averages, do you see any potential threats to the establishment? We've, of course, you know, got Zach Merritt, Patrick Dangerfield, Mitch Duncan, Travis Boak. There's a few players sitting on the sidelines probably chomping to try and get in there. Faz, any of the midfielders take your fancy outside of that eight?
Yeah, unfortunately, most of my midfield is sitting outside of that top eight. I think Paddy and Mitch certainly have the potential to score well enough to push their averages up there. But again, we'll keep coming back to this. The round 15 buy probably just means that they're not great options, particularly with some other popular picks from that round as well. Zach Merritt is one. He's just got that potential to go big. That obviously there are other players that have that ability, but I think Zach's sort of right up there in terms of capacity to put out sort of 150 plus games, and with only five left for the season, he's one that I could see he'd only have to do that twice and then could just sort of coast the rest in at about a 90, and I think he could push his average up there just over these last few weeks. So yeah, I think Boak probably has that capacity too, but again, I'd rule him out because of the bye. I guess Pendles is a bit of a left field pick, not somebody that's been really on the Supercoach radar all that often in recent years, but as I mentioned with Dusty Martin, it's a bit more of a palatable buy, that round 16 buy. So he's one that I could see. Taylor Adams is probably in a similar boat there. They just, you know, have the capacity to go big. But yeah, I'm starting to get a bit suspect, you know, once you start getting down. Luke Parker was one I was looking at quite closely this week, but I think with Sydney's difficult run home, I don't see his scoring quite pushing up into that level. So, yeah, I'm at a bit of a loss to sort of suggest anybody else that could push up there.
Donny, how about you, mate? Anybody else that you like, or would you stick with what we've discussed?
Yeah, I think I'd stick mostly with what you've discussed. I think Zach Merritt for me stands out as the one if I had to bring someone in this week for that, simply because of that buy-free status, and you're going to get an extra 100, 120 points out of him than you are anyone who's still got a buy to come. The only other player that I was looking at, and they do have their buy still, and it's the terrible buy. Cam Guthrie, he's been on an absolute tear this season. He's doing really well, 143 on the weekend. I like him, but, yeah, that terrible buy. But, yeah, I think Dusty, Pendles and Zach Merritt would probably be the three that I'd be looking at if I needed to do another upgrade in the midfield if you didn't have the guys in the top eight.
Yeah, the top eight is certainly a lot easier to pick. I think if you're not going for the top eight, you'd probably just be trying to hit value as well. Mm. And therefore, you know, rather than trying for a 550 type, you might go all the way down to, you know, like 480K, where there's some risks that you might be willing to stomach over a short period of time. You know, noting that midfield premiums have a couple of 130, 140 games, that might be enough to help them coast through with a 120. It's not as hard trying to pick a 120 average from five rounds as it is across 15. And that's certainly something to keep in mind with the midfield premiums, is that certainly there'd be candidates under 500K that are going to average 120 for the last five rounds. It's just a matter of taking the right risk, I think. And maybe some of the risk I'm referring to, I really quite like Andrew Gaff. I don't think he's been talked about a lot, but West Coast are in really good form. He's had a couple of poor games. One came against Geelong and the other came against Sydney where he was tagged. But, you know, if you look outside of that, his bottom end's basically 95. So, yeah, I like him on the run home, noting that they currently only have Richmond, Essendon, Western Bulldogs, St Kilda and North. And I know it's not the easiest opponents, but there's nobody who's there's no Brisbane's, Ports, Geelong's. If you're not going that high, it's maybe about going lower and trying to take a bit of value. I know Cornelio just scored at 50, but, you know, Cornelio, GWS have a good run. He might be considered a risk worth taking.
Can I throw two other names at you that have been talked about a bit this week? One being Angus Brayshaw, who's at 449 and is now getting that midfield role we like. And the other one, Faz, I'm interested in your opinion. Devin Smith, after everyone's ditched him, he finally goes and has his best score of the year with 113. He's priced at under 400K. If you were really struggling for cash, would either of you guys consider those two blokes?
Jeez, it'd be hard for me to recommend Devin. he's been a pretty average Supercoach pick and a pretty average player to root for this year with the amount of dumb free kicks and 50-metre penalties he gives away. So I'm probably going to steer clear of Dev. There's actually another Essendon name that I was going to throw out there, given that we just went from Coniglio with a 53. How about Dylan Scheer with a 57 on the weekend? You know, he's certainly one of those Jekyll or Hyde type players. Yep. That his top end can just be insane. So I, probably not somebody that I'd be looking at myself, but if you're in a spot where you sort of feel like you need to take a risk, need something sort of special to happen for your season, you know, Dylan Shields certainly has that in him. So he's one that I'd be just sort of thinking about at that price. He, you know, presents a bit of value. He'd probably be my pick over Devin Smith.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go Devin. I think that in hindsight, that season where Devin did really well, I was actually one of the ones on the outside throwing stones a bit because he just never really looked like he played a Supercoach game. But by the end of the season, he just got there because he was consistent enough with the tackle department and he got a lot of midfield opportunity that year. And this year, he's still clearly has enough patches where he can score well, but just his role and his overall game style and where Essendon are now, it's just not reliable. Is it worth risking for 5 weeks if you're running out low on cash? Yes. But, you know, at the same time, Jack Martin over him, easy for me.
Absolutely.
The other thing also when considering guys at this sort of price range is just that the nature of these risks means that it's easier to try and basically you want to be swimming in the same direction as the water's moving, and so you want to be going with a team that's winning more than it's losing, because it's much easier to score well if you're a fringe player when your team's winning. The big guns, you know, the Olivers, the Kellys, they'll find a way to get the points by the end of the season. But when you're taking a punt on, you know, the Dylan Shield types, it helps when they're winning. And Essendon have West Coast, Geelong and Port. So I wouldn't actually be touching any of Shield, Merritt, etc. I'm still happy to take their rookies, but I'm not that keen on their premiums anymore. On the flip side, you know, GWS and West Coast, you expect them to win more. Their games on their run home is more where I'd like to put my riskier dollars.
Yeah, that's a great point. I don't think Essendon will win many more games this year.
All righty. Well, that wraps up the crux of what we wanted to cover this week, which was just a bit of a rundown of the premiums that are available. Hopefully that helps you sort through some of the options that you're considering as you're completing your teams. Now, to wrap up, maybe if I can just whip around and do a quick take on your captains for the week. Hopefully, you've had a little bit of a think about it. Otherwise, I can go first. Lachie Neale, obviously, being on the bye this week, removes an anchor point. Normally, he's either a VC or a C. I'm personally pretty tempted by Tom Mitchell at the start of the round against Essendon, and I think my backup will probably be Brody Grundy against Carlton.
I thought I was going to be nice and clever with that pick there of Grundy after an 85. I thought no one was going near him, but you're on to me. I think the only other one I'd chuck out there is as Jack McRae plays Geelong on Friday night, so not an easy game by any means, but you know he's been been on an absolute tear recently. I don't know, Geelong haven't really been tagging much, have they, this year? They sort of just, you know, put their midfield up against the other team. Is that right?
Yeah. But we've tended to restrict opposition Supercoach scoring a little bit just because if Western Bulldogs come up and they're competitive against us, I can see McRae and Bontempelli doing all right. But there's some games where we've blanketed the opposition, and so everybody across the board on the opposition side is just down on points, whether or not you've been tagged. And so that's the only risk, I guess, just your opinion on the Western Bulldogs versus Geelong game. If you thought Western Bulldogs were more likely to lose, that's why I'm going with Mitchell, because I'm a Geelong fan. I'm like, well, those guys are going to lose, so I'm not going to pick vice captain from McCrae and Montepelli. But if you thought that there were a decent chance to give Geelong a shake, then I'd definitely be willing to give McRae the VC. I mean, his scoring is the second highest scorer, I think, for the year now. So, yeah, that's always a good VC option. How about you, Donny?
Yeah, look, I like the Mitchell pick against Essendon. I think that's a safe way to get started. I agree with all the other ones you guys have thrown out, and I think for me, Grundy will also be my backup captain choice for the week. The only other one, which, and it's going to be one of two players, but we don't know which one, could be Oliver or Petrarca against St Kilda. It's just a matter of which one St Kilda decide to tag. And obviously we won't know which one that'll be. Either of those could go all right against St Kilda, but I think it's probably a little bit too risky just given what Neale did against them, if anyone was thinking of going the Oliver direction. So, I think for me, Mitchell into Grundy. And the only other one you could probably consider would maybe be Mitch Duncan against the Dogs. But I think that game, as you've just discussed, Marcus, is probably a little bit too hot to be looking at picking a captain or a vice-captain from.
All right, awesome. Well, thanks, gents, for another good week of the podcast. Hard to believe that there's only going to be four more rounds after this. So, yeah, we're on the final five already. And the next few are going to go by in a zip again. So in case we're not able to get the two of you on because of odd recording hours or whatever, just want to say thanks. Thanks for making you on the show again on behalf of our listeners, and hoping to catch you with some good news by the end of the season. Any final thoughts, Dunny?
Good luck, everyone, for the next footy frenzy coming up. Say goodbye to the families, and hopefully we'll see them all in a couple of weeks' time when it's all finished again. And I think, as we said when we came out of the first footy frenzy, make sure you got plenty of plans, because those games just fly by so quickly. Enjoy, and see you all again at the end of the season.
Well said, Dunny. Yeah, trying to balance NBA playoffs in with this footy frenzy as well. I feel like there's about 2 hours a day where I'm not staring at a screen watching sports, but where else would I rather be? So, yeah, thanks again for having me on the show this week, Marcus. Good luck to the both of you and to everybody else out there listening. Don't make my same Sam Skinner mistake. Let it be the warning to others. You know, do as we say, not as we do, is our mantra. thanks again for having me. And, look forward to trying to sneak onto another show before the end of the year.
Top 100 double digits, Faz, will be keeping keen interest in how you're going. All right, we'll catch you all next week. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.